We also need volunteers, but just come. It's going to be a wonderful time. It's at 3:30 to 6:30. There's going to be a food truck even. Come on now. Latin Market food truck. So it's going to be a great time. That is at 3:30. And also in the back, you'll see a bunch of shoe boxes. We've been partnering with Samaritan's Purse for 6 years and doing the shoe boxes for the kids. It's just a great honor to be able to bless them, fill them up, and just send them away to different countries. So if you weren't here to pick one up, you can grab one in the back, an empty one. Don't grab a full one. Grab an empty one and fill it up and bless a child. It's awesome. It's a wonderful ministry. And get through. What?
Cakewalk.
Cakewalk. There's a cakewalk. Yes. Bring a yes. If you want to bring a cake, bake a cake, buy a pie. If you want to buy an awesome pumpkin pie, I could eat pumpkin pie all year. That's like the best. It's the best. Get a pumpkin pie and bring it and the cake/pie walk. Amen. And then we have, I know you all know this, but we have voting is coming up really quick. What is it? November 8th, right? So I just want us to not be unprepared. And every one of us in this room and every person you know should vote as an American. It is your honor and privilege and responsibility. And not to just take it lightly, but to vote for those who have a biblical standard. Amen. Don't vote for those that are contrary to the Bible because they're culturally accepted. Vote for those that stand for truth and stand for babies and life and marriage. Amen. Come on. Marriage between a man and a woman. Man and a woman. Hallelujah. God's definition. So it's super important. And I believe we can help turn the tide in our counties, Mono and Inyo County. We could turn the tide in California and in our nation. Come on. But it starts with us. Starts with the church. So many in the last like 6 to 8 years, I've talked to so many Christians. Oh, I don't want to vote because both of the candidates, you know, they annoy me and they're not super on fire for the Lord. And I'm like, well, if you don't vote for this, then you're automatically voting for the one that you really hate. So we got to vote and you got to pray. So I just encourage you to, if you feel led of the Lord to fast and pray, it's an important election. And so let's take it seriously, get to the booths and vote. And let's be in intercession as well. And with intercession, I want to remind us that we have Tuesday prayer in Bishop every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. There's intercession going on. It's an amazing time. We need to all be warriors, prayer warriors, intercessors. And then here in Crowley, we're starting to back up. Thanks to Don. Thank you for relaunching that. So the prayer gazebo is back in effect. It's in full swing. And so Fridays at 6 p.m.
Yes.
Right? Dawn, 6 p.m. Fridays at 6 p.m. We're going to have some prayer in there. So come and be a part. And Sunday at 9:30 or 9 a.m. 9 a.m. That's right. 9 a.m. Just corporate prayer, praying for the service, praying for whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And then Fridays at 6 p.m. And then Tuesdays at 6 p.m. So we need to be a praying church.
Yes.
Amen. That's how we're going to change our nation. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. That's good. And I'm just going down our bulletin. Get the weekly bulletin. We need volunteers for kids ministry in Crowley and in Bishop. And so if you feel led of the Lord to serve in that capacity, please talk to me. You could talk to my wife. But we need volunteers to help and to sow into these young ones. It's a really important ministry, whether you feel called or not. Amen. Whether you feel the gifting or not, it's super important to just take a little bit of time, and their lives will never be the same.
Yeah.
Amen. And two more quick things, and then we're gonna jump into an amazing word. On November 19th and 20th, we have a special treat. Ken Williams, Ken and Tiffany, they're bringing a large team from Bethel, and they're coming to minister. But they're ministering on a very specific topic, and it's going to be so good. They're going to teach us how to minister and to evangelize effectively to the LGBTQ community, how to love well. And so there's going to be a workshop on Saturday the 19th in Bishop at our Bishop campus. And we're not opening up that, so don't invite people that are like trapped in that lifestyle. That's not for that. It's an equipping, it's a training, it's a teaching. It's to give us as the church, as moms and dads, as leaders, as business owners, is to give us tools. So if you want to be a part of that, that's going to be on November 19th. It'll be at 9:30 a.m. at Bishop. And then they're going to be doing both campuses Sunday morning. So they'll be here Sunday morning, and they'll just cut loose, do their thing, and then Sunday afternoon. So mark your calendars. If you've never heard Ken, he's amazing. He wrote an amazing book that we had out for a while and stirred up some demons, but that's all good. And then lastly, real quick, Richard, where are you? Richard. We love Richard. Yeah. Richard and Grace. Grace, you can come up here too. You're one. You are one in the Spirit. You are one in the Lord. Oh, yeah. I asked Dennis to come up here too. And so, you know, the Lord is good, right? And we believe that God has called us to win the Eastern Sierras and not to just like get by, but to like advance the kingdom of God. And that, you know, going to Bishop and starting a campus down there was, I feel, the beginning of that. And I feel like the Lord wants to do that, wants to do more of that. But you can't effectively do that unless you have strong leaders, unless you have leaders that will stand their post and stand and be able to be available, you know. And Richard has been available. And he's been a blessing. The grace of God has been on his life. And we've acknowledged him as a leader and as a pastor. But I want to do that again in front of you. I want to acknowledge him. And this is, I don't think any of you would have any doubts in your heart. But as an assistant pastor, to for right now, for both of our churches, both of our campuses. And he... He already helps us so much, and he preaches in both places, and he just does a lot. And they're helping so much with the lodge, both of them, not just Richard, but Grace too. Grace is, you know, she's been such a blessing with kids ministry, with our lodge. And so we're so thankful for both of you guys. And I just want us to pray over them. And if you guys can come too. I feel like it's very strategic that you're here. And and if you have anything in a second. So, Father, we just thank you for Richard and Grace, and we thank you for the grace upon their lives. And, Lord Jesus, we just, we thank you, and we acknowledge them. We acknowledge the leadership and the gifting and the anointing upon their life. And we just ask you, Lord, to bring them up higher, even higher. Even higher right now. Lord, thank you for a new anointing. Thank you for a new grace. Thank you for your tangible presence, Lord, that is already with them. But Lord, let it be even more real. Holy Spirit, be with them. And we thank you, Jesus. We just pray for protection over them. Hedge of protection. We plead the blood of Jesus over their children, over their home, over their finances. Over everything that they do, Lord, over their marriage, we plead the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called them for such a time as this.
Father, we thank you for Richard and Grace. We call up the anointing of God in their hearts to do this ministry, that they will have spiritual eyes and ears to see exactly what the Spirit of God is doing here in our communities, Father. We thank you, Father, that the word of the Lord goes before them, goes through them, goes around them, and is in them, and just brings the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit of this office. In Jesus' name, we just receive them blessed and anointed to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just release an unveiling in both of them of the unlimited riches of your glory and the unlimited riches of your favor until supernatural strength, explosive strength, resides within them, resurrection power. I bless them in the name of Jesus.
And Father, we thank you that it didn't take long at all to see that these two were set aside by you. Lord, that they didn't choose you. You chose them to go and bear fruit, abundant fruit that would last. They can ask anything in your name, it'll be done. Lord, I thank you that in them we see humility. We see a servant's heart. We see pastors who desire to love people well, that they're not living life for themselves, that they've laid down their lives, they've yielded their lives to you, and that they desire to help bring people up into the maturity of the faith until Jesus returns. Lord, thank you. Protect them. And Father, just like we pray oftentimes in wedding ceremonies, let no man put asunder what you've joined together. Lord, we declare that over them. Let no man put asunder, that no man comes against this word, this choosing of yours, that your angels protect them, their children. It protects every part of their being. And Lord, that while they are making you famous, Lord, that you cause their hearts to be enlarged and you attract the right leaders, the right people to come alongside, that the kingdom will be expanded on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, come on.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Hey, let's. It was Richard's birthday yesterday. So let's just sing real quick on the count of three. There is a message, don't worry. On the count of three. One, and you have to stay up here so you're embarrassed. So. On the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, yeah. Get him a gift card. Get him a cake, a piece of pie. Amen. So good. So, amen. Grace and Richard are both in October. I'm in October. I knew there was another reason I loved you guys. So, especially anointed now. I'm so honored to have Pastor Fred and Pat with us. I have known you guys, I think, since 2005 or 6, when I got to go out to Wyoming with Sean and meet them for the first time. Then we went to Haiti, got to do a mission trip in Haiti with them, and then we did a youth conference at your church in Casper. And they've just been a tremendous blessing into my life and Heather's life. They came last year. You saw them, and
actually, it was this year.
January. It was this year, yeah. January, the beginning of the year in January, they were here, and it was an amazing service. We were so blessed. They travel around the world ministering God's truth and bringing the power of God and prophetic, and so I want you just to bring a warm welcome to Pastor Fred and Pat, and we'll just see. I know we're pushing on time, but let's just buckle our seatbelts, see where we get, and if they need to land for a minute, that means you just need to come down to Bishop for more, in Jesus' name. So would you give a warm welcome?
Well, so good to be back. We love you guys already. We talk about you. We think about you. We can see faces while we're even, I mean, just one time here and you were engraved into our brains, which is a full thing these days. But anyway, Fred is going to speak this morning, but there's two nuggets that I want to give you if I could do this. There's actually more that I would like to be able to share. But this morning, the Lord emphasized a word. Anybody ever have it where you're reading along and God just takes like a word, becomes like a pop-up book, and it jumps on you and I can't get away from that word? Anybody have that? Like words in the word? I want to share one, and it goes, I was asking him, Lord, how are you hemming this all together? But I believe I understand what he's doing. I have this stirring in me for you guys, and it has to do with, yes, you live in California, and you've got an election like the rest of us do and all of that, but I didn't feel like that's what God was going after on this. But in Philippians, when I was studying, and this is very short on this part, I felt like as we were worshiping the whole thing today, he says, do you get this? And here are the word. He says, but we are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our humble bodies, thank you, Jesus, and transfigure us into the identical likeness of his glorified body. And using his matchless power, he continually subdues everything to himself. We are a colony of heaven on earth. When we say on earth as it is in heaven, that means let this colony live by what your colony is, your kingdom is, right? But I think we get so lost and distracted in the world with everything that's not going the way we think it should be going. And we want to throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. What's the point of it? But he says we are his colony on earth. You were chosen for such a time as this, to be in this place, to bring a focus into realizing on earth as it is in heaven is better than anything we could ever come up with on our own. That's why we want to use his definitions. Okay? It's why we want to use his way of relating, why we want to use his lifestyles, why he is our pattern. Heaven is our pattern. Jesus is our pattern on earth. So I want you to think about that when you're going about your world, whatever your world is. I believe he's saying I want to recalibrate something in this time, and that is, you're not here living in this world. You are co-reigning, co-seated with him right now, it says, and you are the representation, the colony on earth of what your spirit knows is there, okay? That causes us to say, I don't have to get caught up in the fray. I don't have to. In fact, if I start being disconcerted at all, I mean, like it's ruining my day and ruining my focus, I've moved outside the colony in my perspectives. My biggest perspective is I am part of this colony. And as we live this colony, it will change that world. Amen. Okay, it will. Yeah. But we can't do it out here looking back on that and wishing, oh, I wish this world was like that. We have to be more focused on this is our real world, the colony that we belong to, okay? Amen. A colony. That's really, there's something on that word this morning. Yes. You get to mine that a little bit more in your own, okay? Ask the Lord, how do I live in a colony? What does that look like as a believer to do that? But the second thing before Fred speaks that I feel like the Lord's really been talking about, and I'm not going to preach a sermon on it. I don't believe I am, at least, Lord, is this right? But is that he woke me up several weeks ago now and asked me a question. Well, actually, I was going to sleep. Fred had already fallen asleep. That's not unusual. He falls asleep fast. But I was just almost asleep, and the Lord asked me a question. Anybody have the Lord ask him a question recently? Mm-hmm. I find that there's more of that happening more and more with people, and we ought to listen to that more than our questions to him, okay? My questions to him are best whenever they grow out of his questions to me. But as I was going to sleep, he is like he tapped me on the shoulder, not in real life, okay, but I could hear him whispering to me, and he said, Pat, I have a question that I want to process with you, but we're not going to process it tonight. It's deep. And I want to mark it for tomorrow. And so what does this wife do? I wake up my husband and say, hey, Fred, I need you to help me mark a spot for tomorrow. Remind me that God just asked me a question and he wants us to process it tomorrow. And I know that we're supposed to do it together. And this is the question he asked me. He said, Pat, you know the scripture that talks about anything not of faith is sin. And he says, you know that to be that whenever I ask you to do something that you can't do, you know you need to attach faith to it. And not just say, no, I can't do it. Attach faith to it. But he said, and it was like he moved this way, and he says, but did you know? Have you ever thought about? What about those things you can do that I ask you to do and you can do them? So you go and do them, but you don't attach faith to them. What is that, Pat? Okay, I did go on to sleep. Next day we got to, oh, I didn't tell you the rest of it. The other thing he said, he started giving me illustrations. He said, for instance, I guess it was the next day that he did that as he processed. He said, so like you go to Walmart, Pat, you go to, and he named all these places, you go to church. Do you attach faith to that? Or do you just do it because you can? Pat, what might happen if the next time you go in Walmart, you intentionally stop and attach faith to it? Before you go in, what might break out? Pat, before you go to the doctor's office for a regular checkup, and you know you can go and you think there's nothing, that what could happen if you attach faith to it before you go? Pat, I don't want you doing anything that isn't of faith. I want you to take the life you're living and bring it up to the faith level in everything you do. Jesus lived at that level. That's part of colonizing. Okay, so think a minute in your life this week, whatever you're doing, can you attach faith to it? What does that even mean? It means, it says, I can go this far in my strength. Let me take it a step further in your strength, Lord. Let me open my eyes and see the one that you might have for me to talk to or to minister to. Or it might be, I was going to help somebody this level. Let me attach faith to it and help them to this level. Not something we do on our own, but we simply stop and focus and say, God, I find myself all the time. Lord, I'm attaching faith to this. Before we worship today, before we came in here, you know you can sing songs and not be worshiping, right? If we don't encounter him, we haven't worshiped. Okay? Not like we're just surrounded by people who encountered him. Did you meet him? Before we start worshiping, I can sing the songs and enjoy worshiping and get into them and be moved by the music or whatever. But when I consciously, intentionally, deliberately stop and say, God, I'm attaching faith to my worship today. It takes me to a different place in the revelation I hear, in the experience I have with him, and the outcome when I leave here. So I'm going to leave it at that point and say, are you ready to attach faith to what you hear today? Yeah. Okay, would you stand, please? Amen. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it's going to be about attaching faith, and it's going to be real quick, but I want to do it, and then he can take it, and you can mix and match with him however he leads you to do. But I want you, if you want to learn to attach faith, Lord, I want to live a life that attaches faith to everything I do, whether I can do it in my own strength or not. I want it attached to faith because I want to go deeper and higher. Come on, guys, how much we could do in our, we've seen what man can do. We want to see now what God can do. Right? That takes faith. So if that's you, I'm going to pray a little prayer about it. And I want you just to repeat after me. Jesus, I want to see what you can do. Holy Spirit, I want to know what your power can do. So I choose intentionally and deliberately to say, Holy Spirit, I attach faith to you. Breathe upon my faith. And cause me to live your life on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Woo, thank you. Give her a hand. Would you do that? Glad to see you all today. It's good to be here with you guys. Thank you. And, you know, when I appreciate Mike and Heather a lot, Over the last however many years, we've not been together a lot of times, but every time we've been together has always been an amazing time. And we love getting together with people. We believe that kind of life begins and ends with relationship. And that if your relationships are not in a good place, your life is not in a good place, no matter what your bank account looks like or what kind of car you drive. And so those are so important, to have your relationships in order, and that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But Pat kind of hit on what I want to talk about. If I was to put a title to this message, and I do have one at the top of it, is A Fire in the Spirit. That I just want to say about revival, that revival, first of all, is already here. Secondly, it begins with personal revival. And thirdly, it's for everyone. It's not just for a few people. It's not a fad. It's whatever. Interestingly, during the Jesus Movement days, you know, on the coast of California and touched here as well, I know that actually got saved when I was 10 years old at Nevada City, California, just I think it's 150 miles north of here. I was 10 years old. We lived in Santa Cruz, California. And to have that encounter with Jesus, I remember it was at a youth camp. It was for the, I think they would call it junior age. But what that meant, I think, were like 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, and I was 10. So interestingly, that was, I'm 67 now, so it's been a few years ago. But I don't remember how I got down to the front to pray. But I knew so much that I needed him, not because I'd never heard of Jesus, but I'd heard Jesus because I was raised in a Christian home. In fact, my parents were pastors. And so I'd heard about Jesus all my life, but something happened on that morning service there in Nevada City, California, up in the mountains. And there was a revelation, and they say revelation, when you get revelation, it's like the veil being torn off, the lid coming off, the whatever's keeping you from seeing comes off. And I believe that needs to happen all the time. Because the main thing I want to say this morning is, I've seen what man can do, and I've seen what I can do, and I'm not happy with that. I want to see what God can do. And that if anything we're doing, that's where I attach faith to it. That the simplest thing we may be doing, let's attach faith to it. Let's not do it out of our own strength. Even if we can, we think we can do it out of our own strength. As we were sitting there, I was thinking of a guy that's a spiritual son down in Texas that he put on Facebook that he went into the bank the other day and the Lord gave him a word of knowledge for the teller. And he asked her, said, is your foot bothering you? And she said, yes. How did you know? And so he explained, well, sometimes God lets me know what's going on so I can pray for them and all the pain will go. Would you like prayer? And so, you know, bang, 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 you know, and she gets healed right there on the spot. So what has happened, though, is we've decided that let's go about our own agenda, but your agenda will never make room for the supernatural. It will only be when we're on his agenda. Let's see what God can do. Speaking of that, what is your name? Val? I just feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me that he wants to encourage you today. That it's like he's so in tune with your heartbeat right now. And I just can tell that there is a sadness that wants to come over you, and he wants to bring joy to you. He wants you to see that he can help you handle whatever is going on, and that you never have to go after it by yourself. That you are never by yourself, that he is always with you. He will never leave you or never forsake you. And so I just release a spirit of encouragement to rise up in you right now. And I just say, joy be released right now. Joy be released. And joy is an emotion. It is emotional, but it mainly means that you know that when God sees you, He is always glad to see you no matter what is going on. And that's true. He is glad to see you. He is glad you're here. And He will go with you everywhere you go. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, I want to talk about one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Acts 19. But before I get there, I want to talk about Romans 15. Same guy, Paul, in Acts 19, Paul goes to Ephesus, and really the first time he does ministry, he was there very briefly, maybe a day, maybe a week, and then he went on somewhere else. And so then when he comes back again, there's a powerful thing that happens, and I believe it is very timely. It even has to do with what's already been said this morning about things going on in our country, but also things going on in our individual families. And so, and I want to end with a time of impartation this morning. And so I want to say that even before we do it, because I believe expectation becomes an invitation. Yeah. And so I want God to build an expectation of what He wants to do so that that becomes an invitation to us to receive what He has for us. But Ephesus was one of the places where Paul had a major impact. And so why I'm starting with Romans 15 is this is near the end of Paul's life even. And he's relating what he had been doing as he went on these different missionary journeys. And so I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation, and it is a translation. It isn't just a paraphrase or whatever. In fact, it includes something that I believe every translation should, but often they do not, and that is the Aramaic. Because Jesus spoke Aramaic. He didn't speak Greek. Interestingly, the Greek that would be used to translate the Bible is not spoken anywhere on the planet as a language in a country, but Aramaic still is. So the same language Jesus spoke, you can go to that part of the region and still hear Aramaic being spoken. So here, Romans 15, this is Paul saying, this is what I've been doing. Beginning of 15:17, it says, "Now then, it is through my union with Jesus Christ that I enjoy an enthusiasm and confidence in my ministry for God." And I just want to tell you that this is where it begins. He says, "It is through my union with Jesus." That means I'm in Christ. I'm not in trouble. I'm not in a struggle. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Him. Pat and I love the book of Romans. We also love the book of Ephesians. And 35 times in the book of Ephesians, it's a short book. Over 35 times is the phrase "in Christ" or "Him" there in the book of Ephesians. This is important. I am in a union with Him. That is the most important thing about me. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. If Pat would share some of her messages about boundaries and about some of the things in relationship, she would tell you that I am not her primary husband. That God is her primary husband. I'm not. In fact, we don't need each other. We desire each other. I only have one relationship that I need, and that's with Him. Everything else would come out of desire or I want. And so I am in Christ. Paul said that I have a confidence in what I'm doing because I'm in a union with Him. I'm connected with Him. And he says, then on to the next verse, he says, "And I will not be presumptuous to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. For many I hope that you'll get this, because we're going to go after this in Acts 19 here in a minute. For many non-Jewish people are coming into faith obedience by the power of the Spirit of God. Yeah. If anything's going to happen anywhere, I can't do anything for anybody this morning. I don't carry something to the degree that I can transform your life today, but He can. The power of the Spirit of God is here, and that's what flows through us. And when that is happening, it can change the lives and the atmosphere wherever we are, no matter what may be going on. And I've seen it happen over and over and over all over the world. He says, for many non-Jewish people are coming into faith obedience by the power of the Spirit of God, which is displayed through mighty signs and amazing wonders, both in word and deed. Starting from Jerusalem, I went from place to place as far as the distant Roman province of Illyricum. And get this, he says, fully preaching the wonderful message of Christ. Wow. Not only do we get to preach the wonderful message of Christ, we get to be people that are a lookalike of Jesus here on this planet. You know, Christ in me means that when I walk around, that I have the opportunity to, through the Spirit, to release the life of Christ where I go. That He is in me and I am in Him. No, because He is in me doesn't make Him Fred. Right? But He is in me, and He wants to release Himself through me and touch people's lives. And it's through the power of the Spirit of God that happens. I love it. It is my honor and constant passion to be a pioneer and preach where no one has ever heard of the Anointed One. I love that. I love hearing what Paul has to share with us. So I'm tired of seeing just what we can do. Jesus said, it is better for you that I go away. For if I go away, I will send another just like me. The Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of truth. And He will come and be with you. Jesus told the early disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you have received power. That you are now been washed. But don't leave here until you've received power. If we're going to see anything that we're looking for in our families, in our churches, in our country, in our world, it will not happen without the Holy Spirit. It will not happen without the Holy Spirit. If you're reading God's Word and not encountering the work of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus would want you to get, we're just getting more religious. We're not getting more relationship. Kind of a funny thing. I remember being in Bible college, which was a few years ago, as they say. And in Bible college, one of the professors love to have questions on tests like, how many horses were there when they attacked the Philistines or something like that. And I'm thinking, well, I don't really care how many horses there were, Amen. And so it's kind of getting down. I love all of the things that we get to do together. But when we attach faith, as Pat was saying, really what that's doing is it's saying, I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to come. Yes. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to come, and I trust that whatever He wants to do will make the difference, and it will happen. It will happen. Yes. So let's look at Acts 19 now. So I read to you what Paul said he'd been doing. Now we're going to see him do it. Does that sound good? Now we're going to see it in Acts 19. It says this, While Apollos was ministering in Corinth, Paul traveled on through the region of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. I love this. The first thing he asked them was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" Now, it may be surprising to you, but nowhere in the New Testament does it say that someone went in somewhere and said, "Are all of you born again?" That's interesting. But you have right here the very first question, and often the first question is the most important question. When you believe, did you receive the Holy Spirit? I remember hearing someone say that they had a new age person come up and said, "Hey, I'm not into this Jesus thing yet, but this Holy Spirit thing, whoa, that is amazing. Would you pray for me that I would receive the Holy Spirit?" And I'm thinking, "No, don't do it, don't do it." But I thought, well, why not? Because you can't have the Holy Spirit without Jesus. And so he did, and a month later, this is a pastor of a New Age church calls him up and says, "I'm ready for that Jesus now." He already had Jesus when the Holy Spirit came. He just didn't realize what was on the inside of him already. I want to tell you, here's the first question. What did you receive? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were born again? They said, "No. We've not even heard of the Holy Spirit." Uh-oh. A spiritual grandfather to us, Papa Jack Taylor, if any of you have heard of him or read his books on the kingdom, amazing books. But he was telling me we had taken a trip to Jackson, Wyoming, and we're traveling back to Casper, Wyoming. And on the way back, he was saying, if X denomination, and X is not, I'm cussing, and it's meaning I'm leaving out the name, and so I'm not bleeping myself out, I'm just leaving it out. If this denomination realized that there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit, you better look out. Well, I'm praying that we better look out now. That we begin asking each other, when you received Jesus Christ, when you were baptized, did you receive the Holy Spirit? So Paul said, so you don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. He said, then what was the meaning of your baptism? I would like to, if you will, take some freedom and say, what would benefit us in coming together if we leave the Holy Spirit out? Why would we even want to be here? What would even be the purpose or the meaning of being here if the focus is not on what is the Spirit doing? What really is revival? Revival is already here. It begins personally and it's for everyone. But really, what is being revived? It will only be revived because of the Holy Spirit's work in us. The Holy Spirit's work in us. So Paul said, they responded, it means that we would follow John's teaching. When they were baptized, it means that we would follow John's teaching. And so Paul said, John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins. And he taught you to believe in and follow the one who was coming after him, Jesus, the anointed one. And you know, Jesus, the anointed one, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, Jesus is just like we are in this sense. No, I am not God, and I will never be God. You can be thankful for that. But he was in right relationship with the Father and full of the Holy Spirit, and so can we. That we can walk this planet like he did. I even believe we can have a relationship with Jesus, with the Father that Jesus had with the Father. In fact, that was a lot of what Jesus came to do, was to reveal to us what a relationship with a perfect Father would look like. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know, what you just quickly used the word perfect Father and it's like something went in me, And you know, your father was so unperfect, and whatever he may have done or not done for you, I want you to know there is a perfect father that loves you, and Jesus came to show you what it would look like to be in relationship with him. Yes. That's why he came. And so he says, he taught you to believe and follow the one who is coming after him, that Jesus, the anointed one. When they understood this, they were baptized in the authority of Jesus, the anointed one. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So there were two questions. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? No, we didn't know such a thing. Then what was the meaning of your baptism? They said, John. So just let me ask for a minute, what was the meaning of your baptism? Because so many times what happens is we begin to be, if you will, baptized into our favorite podcast, our favorite preacher on TV, our mentor, our whatever, you know, the person that, you know, that caught your attention. And so you're off on this tangent somewhere, and he's saying, hey, let's get back to what will change the universe that we live in. And it's not going to be the podcast you're listening to. It's going to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, that when you listen and then when you grab a hold of what he's saying to you and you act on it and attach faith to it, it will change the environment that you're in. That's what will happen. So for 3 months, Paul taught openly and fearlessly in the synagogue, arguing persuasively for them to enter into God's kingdom realm. But some of them hardened their hearts and stubbornly refused to believe. When they spoke evil of the way in front of the congregation, Paul withdrew from them and took the believers with him. Now get this, every day, for over 2 years, he taught them in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, which resulted in everyone living in the province of Asia, Jews and non-Jews, hearing the prophetic word of the Lord. So let's get down to, as they say, brass tacks right now. Paul laid hands on 12. 2 years later, the whole province has heard the prophetic word about the Lord. In the Old Testament, it says that God can deliver with few or with many. There's more than 12 in this room right now. I preach a message on the one, and I may have actually preached this in January, but our prayer every day is, Father, show us the one. Who is the one today? That we would see the one, reach the one, disciple the one. You know, I love having big meetings. A coliseum, well, we don't call it a coliseum anymore, the stadium full, you know. I love that. But you know what? When we begin to think that unless we have a lot of people, something significant can't happen, then we're missing the boat. That's not good. Because he wants to use you. He used 12. Paul and the 12, they're ministering. It was like a ministry school, if you will. I believe actually that they were raising up people that would go out and share the message, and it went out over the whole province, and in 2 years, they touched the whole region. I want to tell you, we can do that. We can do that, but we can't do that if we're going to do it. It has to be beyond what we can do. You are called to do what you cannot do. Will you accept that? That he's asking you to do what you can't do, but it's only what you can't do because you tried to do it on your own. With him on the inside of you, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Him flowing through you can accomplish this. Went from 12 to the whole region hearing the message of Jesus. And so he tells you a little bit about some of the fun things that happened. God kept releasing a flow. I like that. We need a fresh flow. FF, fresh flow. Of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that had touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of the sick and diseases, and demons left them, and they were healed. Whoo-wee. Jesus said, you will do the same works I do, even greater works that I will do, because I go to the Father. Now, get a load of this. Now, there were seven itinerant Jewish exorcists, sons of Sceva, mouthful, the high priest, who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. They would say, we cast you out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. One day when they said those words, the demon on the man replied, I know about Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who do you think you are? Then the demonized man jumped on them and threw them to the ground, beating them mercilessly. He overpowered the seven exorcists until they all ran out of the house naked and badly bruised. Woo, you're walking down the street. Well, what was that that just ran past me, you know? Looked like seven naked men running down the road and they're bleeding. You see, it's not a formula. They thought they would just use the name of Jesus without a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of you. Jesus is that resident genius on the inside of you that we need to be in relationship with Him. Good news is that even if I suck it up in my preaching today, I'm still going to heaven. In fact, if I preach amazingly today, He will not love me anymore. I'm not doing what I'm doing because I'm going to get loved more, because I'm already loved this much. When His hands were stretched out on the cross, He said, this is how much I love you. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit and have a fresh flow so that people will know our name, but so they'll know His name.
Yes.
Those demons realized these people don't know Jesus. You see, we're known in heaven and in hell when we're full of the Holy Spirit. Get this. From 12 receiving the baptism and the move of the Holy Spirit went from 12 to all of this. I believe, get ready. Get ready, the Eastern Sierras. Get ready. This isn't about a history book. This is about reality, changing things that need to be changed because God wants to be seen here. God wants to touch this area. All of the people in Ephesus were awestruck, both Jews and non-Jews, when they heard about what had happened. Great fear fell over the entire city, and the authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. That's what we want. We want the authority of the name of Jesus to be exalted in our homes, in our counties, in our states, in our country, in our world. I'm praying that we, again, as believers, will be awestruck again at what He does and who He is, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, that we would be awestruck again, that we'd be so almost incapacitated by the goodness of God and can hardly move, but yet we can. Kind of like a functional drunk, if you will. That we are just so in awe Oh, wow. Many believers publicly confess their sins and disclose their secrets. Large numbers of those who had been practicing magic took all of their books and scrolls of spells and incantations and publicly burned them. When the value of all the books and scrolls were calculated, it all came to several million dollars. Get this, the power of God caused the word to spread, and the people were greatly impacted. Can I tell you a couple things about Ephesus? See, in present-day Turkey, about 4 miles inland from the Aegean Sea, the temple of the goddess Artemis, Diana, was located just outside of Ephesus and was estimated to be the largest building in the world of that day, larger than an American football field. This opulent temple was one of the seven wonders of the old world and took 220 years to build. The cult of Artemis was widespread and possibly the most prominent when Paul penned the letter to the Ephesians. A number of statues of Artemis have been excavated in Ephesus. One had an inscription which read, "The goddess Artemis rules our city." Does that sound familiar to anybody? The earliest depictions of Artemis have her holding a bow and an arrow with a crescent in her forehead. Ephesus was also a city steeped in magic and occultism. Someone writes, of all ancient Greco-Roman cities, Ephesus, the third largest in the Roman Empire, was by far the most hospitable to magicians, sorcerers, and charlatans of all sorts. It is no wonder Paul writes to the Ephesians, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the forces of His explosive power flowing in and through you. So that's the place that from 12, the whole region were touched. We're not talking about they touched a region where everybody already went to Sunday school. This was a hardcore. They believed that their goddess, demon goddess, ruled their city. And now it is on fire for Jesus. They are awestruck. They are awestruck. I would like for us to now ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to do the same thing they did in Ephesus, to do that here and everywhere you may live. I know we have someone from Pennsylvania, so we'll take it to Pennsylvania, you know. We're from Wyoming. You guys have a daughter now in Redondo Beach, right? Is that what you were saying? And so wherever, so I'm not trying to limit it, obviously, to here, but for a fresh outpouring, and I feel like we need to lay hands on everybody, and would like to invite you as a prophetic act to step forward, as in saying, I'm going to step up, not being more of me, but being more of the Holy Spirit in what happens. I've seen what man can do already. In fact, I've seen what I can do. I want to see what God can do. Do you? I want to move this out of the way, and we'd like to lay hands on anybody that would like a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning. Yes. Yes. Could we do the guitar and play some music? Would you do that while we pray for people? Oh, okay. Yes. And so what I want you to know is that you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by faith, just like you do salvation. So we're not looking for any specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit. However, I say that it says in this scripture that when he laid hands on them, they were able to prophesy and they spoke in other tongues. But we know from stay in Jerusalem until you receive power. Even tongues in the prophetic would be a fruit of the power. And it says that in Romans 15, it says that the power of the Spirit of God was in word and in deed. And so that he will use our words powerfully, because our words do create worlds that we live in. And mighty signs and wonders will be released. And I just want to tell you, there is healing in the room right now, because Jesus is in the room right now. And so if you need healing, yes, come on. If you need healing, just the Spirit of the Lord is here right now, and he's going to begin prophesying over us. He's going to begin speaking to us, releasing his presence powerfully, that he wants to change not only our world, but he starts with us individually. Notice that they laid aside their magic books, that they were caught up in that demonized goddess Diana worship, and they laid it out. They burned the past, because they said, I don't need a bridge back to that past again, because I'm going forward. I'm not going to ever go back again. I'm going to keep going forward.
So we started out this morning. You remember that word colony? You remember that what colony? Can you see what God is doing? Do you see the connection here? Now, you've been involved in a lot of things where you've come and there have been celebrations. There's all kinds of things and we have fun. But I believe the Lord is saying he wants us to stop and get ourselves in that place so that we realize, just like before we take communion, don't take it without that sincerity of heart. That place that says, I realize this isn't about me. I realize I'm stepping into something and inviting the very presence of God to take my life, to yield my life to him willingly, to say, I don't want to just take this and say, wasn't that fun? I want to, by faith, as we said, by faith, I am believing, not in the oil. It's not essential oil, but it's essential. Okay? Not the fact that you simply have oil on you, but that is a reminder to you of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you are saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, let me help become you on the face of the earth. Holy Spirit, that your colony would grow just like it did in what Fred read about. Holy Spirit, come on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, as we go to anoint right now, Lord, we do it in your name. We do it because you are the very breath we breathe. Holy Spirit, empower the word that you sent out this morning, that as we receive the word, we receive you. The Spirit of Jesus, we receive you. The Spirit of Jesus, we say yes to all that you are, accessing all that you have, all because of Jesus, our life union with him. Amen.
Thank you. Oh.
Hallelujah. We're just going to just continue praying for a few more minutes. If you need to go, you're released to go. But let's just, if you're staying, just engage just for a few more minutes in prayer and worship. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Seal this word in our hearts and in our spirits. We honor you, Jesus. Bless everybody in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
All of creation singing the song of holy things and echoing heaven, and we join the angels as we sing. Oh, and we join the angels.
We'll be right back. midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, we praise you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, oh, we praise you, and we thank you. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, forever and ever, amen. And oh, praise His name, forever and ever, amen. And oh, praise His name, and ever. Mm-hmm.